thewellnesscouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives.
Welcome to 100 Not Out, featuring your hosts, Dr. Damien Kristoff and Marcus Pierce.
Hello and welcome to 100 Not Out, a weekly show dedicated to helping you master the art of aging well. Boy, oh boy, Marcus Pierce here. Very excited to have my brother from another mother, the king of wellness. He is at the apex of analogies when it comes to longevity. I speak of none other than Dr. Damien Kristoff. Hello, brother.
Hello, brother. How are you? Are you feeling well? Are you excited for this podcast today? Because we're going to blow the lid on a few little things.
Well, there's been a bit of a theme of our recent episodes around food scare and around almost like practitioner scare with people giving information that's not quite right. And today I'm excited because it's another expose, whether it's info scare, whether it's diet scare, I don't know. But one of our 100 Not Out alumni, David Avocado Wolf, who I think we both like.
Yeah,
personality-wise, human being-wise.
Well, I do.
Great sure media talent. I've seen, attended his events. I love everyone. So do you. You're a Labrador, a Greyhound, a Labradoodle?
Golden Retriever, I think.
Golden Retriever.
Yeah. But I like the Labradoodle because I think, one that doesn't lose hair, because if I come back again, I want to not lose hair. Yeah, and I want everyone to be oh, look how cute he is. Oh, what's he called? Oh, he's just another doodle.
You don't want to be one of those little fat, overweight bulldog terriers that people aren't sure if they're going to get a bite or a little lick from.
Yeah, and they, when they shake their head, spit comes off. Like, I don't want to do that. Make me a Labradoodle. I don't think when I got coined a Labrador or a Golden Retriever, whatever I was, I don't think the doodle population was invented at that point, because that was very much
like, no cavoodles. There were no
I think they were invented. They weren't bred yet.
No. That's how far the world has come since you started podcasting. Yeah. I actually found a photo in my Google Drive, which has just got a whole life of its own, like anyone here that has a Google Drive. I found the 100 Not Out debut image of the iTunes charts. And 100 Not Out debuted on the iTunes charts at number nine. But at number one in all their glory for about the 400th week in a row was The Wellness Guys. And that paleo show was number two. And the ABC Health Report was like at number three or four or five or something.
Wow.
And it brought back many memories. One, of how long we've been podcasting for. But two, yes, how far the world has come in that time. Speaking of one thing that has come a long way, it has been the rise of social media as a way to educate humanity. And one thing that has triggered us more than most things over the last 6 to 12 months has been some of the BS that has landed onto the socials. And again, our 100 Not Out alumni is in the he's in the bad books this week. David Avocado Wolf, who I think is episode 5 or 6 of 100 Not Out. Produce them in, I'll pop it in the show notes. Yeah. But he's put a post.
Which, by the way, that was a really good interview. That was a great interview.
We loved it. We loved it. Yeah, we were speaking about, this is how long we've been podcasting for. We were talking about agave nectar on that episode.
We were.
Because I loved my agave back then. In my CPC, but he started going down a rabbit hole of the agave industry. He started talking about alcohol and tequila and gangs. Mexican and you felt like cartels. It was becoming very much like a Netflix series that was, so we just, you were like, no, we got to pull this up, David. It's getting a bit hot in the kitchen.
It became very Narcos, wasn't it? we're waiting for the FBI to kick down the doors. Yep.
Yeah, so we're getting a bit nervous.
Get on the floor.
A recent post by one of his social media team got me a little bit riled. I forwarded it to you. I thought it was a chicken, but it's a frog. And we'll pop the link to the show notes so that you can see this, because we're going to talk about something that you might not be able to see. It's a chicken or a frog.
No,
our producer, Min, says it is a frog. All right, you know more about the body than I do. It is a frog.
Yeah.
Going into a soup, maybe a laksa.
Rolling.
And can you take it from there? Because there's been some, I'm going to call it misinformation around this frog going into the laksa.
I don't know if it's been misinformation, but, you know, there's a headline. You know what I'm amazed about? Producer Min has actually put in our little notes here that it was episode number 6 when we interviewed David Avocado Wolf. That's a long time ago.
It is. It's over 10 years ago. We forgot to celebrate our birthday, by the way. Our 40th birthday of 100 Not Out. Yeah, because we launched in March or February, and we're in March now. So, yep, we definitely lost that one. So, Producer Min, we're about every February, every number 52 times whatever it is. Yep. Mm. Yep. So,
11. Yeah.
That's it. Poo, so, anyway, 10. We'll work that out later.
There you go.
So
is that 10 years or 11 years?
11. 11.
Goodness gracious.
So, can you, because I know we're too chatty already.
Dog years.
Can
is
you
like
tell the people, what has been happening on David Avocado Wolf's Instagram account and where a bit of sense can be drawn out of the nonsense?
Well, we know that there's a push towards animal welfare, and for many people, their choice to be vegan it stems from the care or the lack of care that's shown to animals. When they're being prepared for human consumption in the lineup, so to speak. I'm trying to get my way out of this because I want the vegans to not feel offended. In this particular video, we see this rolling laksa. It looks super hot. It's got to be boiling at 100 degrees because it's rolling and there's steam coming off. And in chopsticks is a little frog with no head. It lost its head. And we always know how to boil a frog. Is you do it gradually. Well, in this case, this frog was being dipped in feet first, skinned, scun.
Dead.
Not alive, no head, yes, no guts, being gutted. Yeah. So even for the preparation of this video, a frog had to die. So, you know, I don't know whether or not David Avocado knocked that frog off or whether or not he's got the video from somewhere else. I'm pretty sure he got the video from somewhere else. David wouldn't have done that. But anyway, let's just say that this little frog has not even an inch of its life left, like not even a millimeter of its life left. And their headline says, even they have feelings.
No.
Isn't it?
No. I'm going to give you the exact thing. They feel pain too. Broken heart emoji. They feel pain too. Broken heart emoji.
So as this frog gets dipped into the rolling laksa, the right leg of the frog retracts. And the left leg of the frog retracts as well. And then the wings or the front legs of the frog, the landing legs, I suppose, the ones that will stop it from falling forward, like the T-Rex legs, the small ones, they wing back like it retracts along maybe the spinal cord or something. And I think the video is meant to alarm people into thinking that there's a nervous system reaction/response here, even when you're dead.
Because it's too hot. It's too hot in the soup. I'm in pain and I'm drawing my legs up to avoid the laksa.
That's why you boil a frog slowly. You don't just drop them in the hot water because it's too cruel, right? That's what's happening here. So in this situation, what we have witnessed is not a neurological reflex where it was too hot and you've withdrawn your feet from the hot bath like we would if we stuck our foot into the hot bath. That's a nervous system closed circuit response. That's a reflex that goes only the spinal cord, not to the brain until you feel pain. That's an interpreted sensation that comes later on, the pain bit. But the reflex of something not right, that could be soft, cold, furry, 8 legs. It could be anything that you touch that creates a reaction or a reflex. That's not what we see here. We see a retraction of the tissues because of the heat causing a shift and a change to the organization and structure of the material in the skin. Now, this you could liken to the non-vegans out there to putting a piece of salmon on a hot plate with the skin down. And then, of course, as soon as that skin goes down, the fish skin shrinks and it pulls that that skin and the meat together, the flesh together, and it buckles. That's exactly what happened to this frog's leg. If this is too much for you and you're a vegan, picture something that has contractibility like plastic. And I know that's not very environmental, but you've all seen it before you were vegan. You would have seen that there was
recycled plastic, don't I?
Yep. Repurposed it. We've upcycled. Upcycled the plastic for an experiment. We've got boiling hot water, and we drop a piece of plastic into the hot water. It retracts just because of the heat, and it changes the molecular structure and the organization of the material. It just retracts. There's no nervous system in the plastic. There's no feelings in the plastic. It comes from petroleum products. So there's nothing in there that's still alive. It's the same as the frog. There's nothing in there that's still alive. That frog, for all we know, could have been hit by a car and now it's been put into a Luxa. We just don't know. But in this case, it's the contractility of the smooth muscle in reaction to the heat that's actually caused it to shrink and to retract, not a nervous system response. So it's a shock. Like, it's shocking. It's clickbait, and that's what we've seen there. And to your point there, Piercy, a lot of people have shared that. More people have shared it than actually commented on it or liked it.
Well, this is what I kind of want to talk about is 945 shares, as in telling other people, 730 comments, 831 likes. So on a social effect level, people are sending this to other people.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we don't know what they're saying. Check this out. Oh, my gosh, the poor thing.
Poor frog.
Poor frog. I swear to God, a lot of people think it's chicken, me included.
massive chopsticks. Like, those chopsticks would have to be broomsticks if you look at the scale of that, you know.
Yeah, no, totally. But I think what I'm really curious in is, like, what impact does this type of information have on people's decisions? Because it really does remind me of when Sarah and I watched Earthlings many years ago, narrated by Joaquin Phoenix, and it essentially demonized sport and entertainment and essentially living life. It kind of just brought the vegan argument into every area of life. And I just feel for people that are watching that and consuming it, and all of a sudden they're going, oh my gosh, I'm not eating dinner tonight. Like, I'm just going to have the salad, because it's so visual. That video is so visual. And I wanted to ask you about this in terms of what's happening physiologically. Because when you put a comment up there that is an error, it is a factual error.
Yeah.
They feel pain too.
Yeah.
Like, if you put that up, Damo, as a chiropractor, and you related it in a way to get more leads, have more people come in and see you, like, you'd get in trouble.
Yeah.
You'd get in trouble for misinformation or whatever you want to call it these days.
Could, like,
it just, it just, you get cancelled for sure. You got cancelled, or you got almost cancelled just trying to do a nice thing by keeping someone accountable to their behaviour at the golf club. So we've got to be.
I reckon I've been cancelled quite a few times this year.
Yeah.
We're only in March. Far out.
You're aiming for one a month. One a month.
Oh, I might try for two a month. Yeah.
So I am really big on the fact that, particularly with the rise of AI.
Mm-hmm.
People can now get away with anything. Hmm. And there are a lot of confused consumers out there, which is, this is kind of the beat we've been on the last three or four or five episodes.
Yeah.
In that we think we had information overload 5 years ago. We are now absolutely fried. And no one knows where to turn. And if we're turning to social media, because I speak to a lot of clients that, like, yeah, I get my information and my news consumption from social media. I'm like, wow. Yeah.
Well, we were reading an article just before, you and I and Min, producer Min, and we were, you know, interested, because we're doing some investigation. We're going to blow the lid on something in a couple of episodes' time, hopefully.
Oh, not that quickly. No, a bit longer. It's going to take a bit longer than that. Well, it might be, you know, 6 to 10 weeks' time.
Let's just say a couple, because we'll keep everybody waiting. Like, okay. Urgent.
Market a demo there.
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story, Piercy.
Yes.
So in a couple of episodes' time, we're going to blow the lid off one of the biggest names
in longevity.
And one of the biggest, one of the cleverest ways to market a product into your household that's been banned. It's been banned. You're not allowed to do this in Australia, but people are getting away with it. we're going to blow the lid on that. We were reading an article that kind of supports this, and so it was talking about a particular product, and it spoke about the particular product in such a shining light. All the features and benefits of this particular product were all in there, and then there was a little reason why a person had decided to no longer continue to use this particular product. And then I thought, who wrote this article? So I went all the way down, and it's de-identified because the article was actually written by an organization called Spartacle, and Spartacle is an AI program. And so the actual article has been assembled by AI. It's not written by a person. And that possibly also means that, I don't know, like, is it looser in terms of the morals? Is it looser in terms of the accuracy that has to be presented? Is it? Can you just pop something up there? Is it regulated?
Well, you've got to do a lot of fact-checking with AI, don't you? Because you've just literally put in a prompt and out comes an article. And then are you going to go and fact-check all 75 points that it makes? And to your point, 100% it's more loose. It is so much more loose.
So who regulates it? I don't know. Like,
no one. So it's not regulated.
So much the same as social media. You know, maybe it's Mark Zuckerberg who decides who's going to get cancelled, or maybe it's Elon Musk who, you know, sells your Twitter X account to somebody else, or lets them log in on your username, and you know you can't just, you know, maybe it's that. So how do we know what's really going on here? You've got to fact check it. You've got to look. So I know of people that are deciding to do things, you know, with regards to their health at the moment, and they're watching YouTube videos or getting Instagram, you know, pieces, and then because it looks so good and it's so professional, people are trusting it. I think we're going to have to go back to the doctor. You know what I mean? So when I say that, it's your doctor is your teacher. So a doctor means teacher. So it could be your GP if that's your teacher. Could be a chiro if that's your teacher. Could be a naturopath if that's your teacher. So we're talking, I think you're going to have to go back and ask a trusted source, because I don't think we can trust social media. And I don't think we can trust the internet anymore, particularly when articles come out that are written by AI and they're kind of mutton dressed up as lamb, and you think that it's real, it's fair dinkum, true dinks, but it's actually not. It's just something that's been generated. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it makes me very concerned, PC, for the future of healthcare if people are consuming information that's false.
So it does make you wonder whether the rise in AI and then as a result misinformation is going to actually make it better for, like, I'm thinking of you as a health professional, that value on the one-on-one human engagement is going to be even more valued because they know that they were with you in your room, in your presence. It wasn't, I mean, we're already seeing as we record now, not identity theft, but identity manipulation happening more and more often. Yeah. Whether it's photos that are being edited, so on and so forth. Like that whole conversation of like what is real, this whole social media AI rise is really going to make us think that, well, the only thing that is real is what's in front of my eyes, like 3D, not 2D on a screen, but like 3D, human body, flesh and blood. So to your point, Damo, it's like we're actually going backwards.
Yeah.
Who's your doctor? Who's your health professional? Who's your mentor? Who's your advisor? Because you can trust that more than a blog that you read or a post that you view or a video that you watch, because was it AI generated? Was it authentic? Was it? Is it real?
Is it real?
And that's a really interesting – I actually find that somewhat relieving, because I know in my lifestyle I do like to consume a lot of real-life information through conversations with real people. Poor producer Min, we had to leave hanging 20 minutes late because you and I were so engaged in a real-life conversation with each other.
Proper real.
Which is actually, you know, that's what we observe in Ikaria. They don't know on time and punctuality at all because they're so caught up in real-life living. And that's kind of where headed in. I feel like that's a good thing.
I know, but I think that's going to require a little bit of awakening. I think people are going to, it's going to have to be not necessarily a shock to the system, but this is kind of, AI could signal the demise of social media. There's a headline for you. That's a headline, because it might actually reveal the mistruth and the lies And the skullduggery that's taking place on social media and with AI, because if AI is generating articles based on information that it finds somewhere, you know, using key terms or whatever, and the accuracy of it is not held to account, then people could make some pretty bad decisions. And so it probably then swings the needle back in favor of educated brain, you know, based on the truth and people who are learned, which I think is really important.
Mm. This is like I have a friend who is in the health and wellness space, mm-hmm. who was being interviewed for a print interview,
mm-hmm.
and this person was frustrated that someone else in their business wasn't doing the answering, wasn't actually doing the replies. So mm-hmm. this person actually generated the replies using AI.
Yeah.
Which just makes me think, as a consumer, what we're now reading, and again, everyone, well, I think a lot of people listening to this or watching this will know what I'm saying here. It's like, you think you're reading what Marcus Pierce says or what Damien Christoph says or what whoever this says or whatever, but unless you're with that person in the flesh, yeah. how can you actually really know now?
I was offered recently the opportunity to create an AI version of me. So they said, you know, create a whole AI version of you, get all of your podcasts, upload them into the bot, get all of the articles you've written over the years, put them into the bot, put your book in there, the one that you ripped up, pop that into the bot, put your talks, Power of Food, Crack Your Stress Code, Gut First, all of that, put that into the bot, and then what will end up happening is when somebody asks a question, it'll generate responses based on how you would normally respond, and you could test it and blah blah blah. And I was thinking to myself, oh, how cool is that? And then, but something just didn't feel right about that. Like, do you trust a machine to answer a question the same way that you would? And so I was basically looking to find. I was offered the opportunity to find a hack, some kind of a hack. Which doesn't sit well with me anyway, at the best of times, like hacking stuff, for me providing accurate information. So I was like, oh, it just doesn't feel right, you know? Like, it's just...
Well, this does bring up this conversation, which is you know, great dinner party conversation, but using exactly what you just said, if it came out and the content sounded like you, looked like you, talked like you and everything, a part of you goes, wow, that's amazing. And then there's the other part of it, and it's a great example of the child whose parent wrote a poem for them using AI. Mm. So, and the child really loved it until they found out that it was AI that wrote the poem and not the parent, if that makes sense. And that's I think, heavy. your hesitation is like, there's just a part of you that doesn't like that it's not authentically you. Like, it's you. But it's a combination of the millions of data points of the past you.
Here's the thing. There's nothing that humans have created that performs to the same level as the human body. There's nothing. Like, there's no material that has the ability to regenerate itself and continue to perform its full function. There's no material that continues to tick and have life, you know, for 80 or 90 or 100 years and continue to replicate, repair, renew that whole... There's nothing, there's no material, there's no nothing, including AI, that thinks like a human, that in given a particular situation has the ability to understand emotion or innuendo or tiny little idioms or any kind of shift in the mood or the feeling of the air or the smell in the room or whatever else it is that helps us make a decision. There's nothing that's being created by a human that can match or supersede a human. And I think we're a bit excited about AI, but I think here, when we're giving health advice, that is one significant drawback of AI, for sure.
Mm.
Mm. And on that, maybe it might help with diagnosing some things because it's all very algorithm-driven. Maybe it narrows down the DDXs, but I think at the end of the day, it's got to come down to a specialist opinion. It's got to come down to an educated brain about what something actually is. It could be a whole data set that kind of narrows it down to one or two or three things, but then you've got to have a human, a real person, deciding on what it actually is. But I still can't see how it's of huge amounts of benefit for humanity.
It's a great point to ponder, and I think it just opens up for all of our listeners and viewers. Have you been accepting information somewhat too easily? Have you been just believing everything you're seeing and reading and so on? And in this new frontier of where we're at with AI, particularly in relation to health, are you drinking the Kool-Aid or are you taking responsibility? Now, one thing I know is that when we are in Icaria and Sardinia, just like they don't even know what gut health is because they're sobering and healthy, they don't experience it. They probably have no idea what AI is. And as we record this, I'm not sure when this is going to come out. Our spots may be filled, but if you do want a little back to the future, 10-day trip in each place, bucket list trip of a lifetime, memories that you will never forget, and you won't be able to load them into your AI prompter, but you will be able to remember them in your brain forever. All the details are over at 100notout.com. Damo, another mind blower. Thanks to you. Appreciate your insights.
Interesting
conversations to be had and so much more to be had on this topic. For all of the 100 on Out stuff, folks, you've got Apple Podcasts and Spotify on the socials, which are truthful, at 100.notout and at 100notout on Facebook. Spell it all out. Everything else that we do over at 100notout.com. Until next week, as always, continue to make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Bye for now.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.